Now, what is the difference between preaching and teaching? Brother Donovan Moline from the Parkdale Edmonton congregation will now consider the answer to this question as he discusses, do the work that Jesus did, teach.
Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher to ever walk the face of the earth. But why? Why can we say that? What was it that made his teaching so effective? Please, if you would, open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 24 and verse 32. And if you would, keep your Bibles open there for a moment because we'll discuss it a little bit further as we go along. Now, the context is the resurrected Jesus has appeared to his disciples on the road and had walked with them and had taught them. And now we pick up the account where they're discussing the effect that his teaching had had on them. Luke 24, 32. And they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us as he was speaking to us on the road, as he was fully opening up the scriptures to us? So if you had to sum up the effect that Jesus' teaching had on those that listened to him, how would you do it? You would say that his teaching touched their hearts. So for us too to be effective teachers, we also need to touch the heart when we are teaching. Now, Jesus was the greatest teacher to ever walk the face of the earth. He was a perfect man, a perfect teacher. Was it possible for his disciples to imitate him in this regard? Well, think of Peter's speech at Pentecost of 33 CE. What was the effect that his speech had on his listeners on that occasion? The account says that they were stabbed to the heart, and they were motivated to ask, what should we do? Or think of Paul's defense before Herod Agrippa. Agrippa said, after Paul had made his defense, in a short time you would persuade me too to become a Christian. For us to reach the heart, we need to understand that teaching is different from preaching. It involves much more. It's like the difference between planting a garden and going back and weeding and watering it. Now, if you look back at Luke chapter 24, what was it that made their hearts burn? Well, the fact that Jesus was fully opening up the scriptures. And the footnote says, or he was clearly explaining the scriptures. He showed things by argument. He offered proof. And once he had stimulated their thinking, he built appreciation. And he made his listeners think, what should I do? What was it that he taught? Well, what was it that he was opening up? It was the scriptures. So too, for our teaching to be effective, it must be based on God's word. And finally, why did he teach his disciples? Why did he appear to them? Because he wanted to strengthen and encourage them, because he loved them. So our teaching must be motivated by love for our student. But for a few minutes, let's consider three ways that we can imitate Jesus' way of teaching. And we'll sum them up right at the beginning so that you can write them down, and we'll discuss them one by one. We could say that we need to be simple, we need to be brief, and we need to be clear. So first, let's discuss simplicity. Think of the language and illustrations that Jesus used. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Now, salt and light, are these tough concepts? Did they know that salt with no strength, and that a light that was covered with a basket were useless? Of course they did, and so they got the point. So too, when we teach, we need to use language and illustrations that are easy to understand. How about brevity? Jesus had a lot to say and not much time to say it in. He didn't say, well, I'll just tell you everything at once and maybe I'll repeat it a couple of times, and if I repeat it enough, you'll eventually get the point. No. At John 16 and 12, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them at present. So it's like a mom with a toddler. She wants to give the toddler some apple, so does she just hand him an apple? Or does she cut it up in small pieces? If she just hands him the apple, he'll probably drop it and lose interest. So what do we learn? Don't overwhelm those that we teach with too much information at one time. How about the third method that Jesus used? Clarity. Well, on one occasion, Jesus told his disciples to watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees, and they didn't understand what he meant. So they started talking among themselves, well, we didn't bring any bread. And he heard, and he realized they didn't get the point, and so he patiently explained to them that what he was talking about was not bread, but the leaven of the Pharisees were the teachings of the Pharisees. So on a study, or when we're teaching someone, we need to patiently work to make the main point clear. Why? Because our goal is to reach the heart. But to be honest, have you ever attended a study or conducted a study that wasn't all that effective? Well, perhaps it went a bit like the one in the following video presentation, in which our brother is trying to teach using material from the Bible Teach book. Let's watch how he does.
Tim, thanks for reading all the appendix. 1914, a significant year in Bible prophecy. You understood it, right?
Well, it's not completely clear.
Okay, well, let's go through it again. If you remember, Luke 21, verse 24, said that Jerusalem would be trampled on by the nations until the appointed times of the nations are fulfilled. Now, we know that began in 607 BCE. And in Daniel chapter 4, verse 16, it said that seven times would have to pass over it. And in Revelation 12, verse 6 and 14, it indicates that 3.5 times equals 1,260 days. So seven times would be 2,520 days. But of course, we've got the Bible principle, Numbers 14, verse 34, a day for a year, a day for a year. So that 2,520 days would be 2,520 years. So counting 2,520 years from 607 BCE brings us to 1914, when Jesus began to rule as king in the heavens. You got it now.
It's still not clear.
That's okay. I didn't understand it the first time I went through it. Just read the appendix a few more times and it will make sense. Come on, let's finish our study of chapter 8.
So what was missing from this Bible study? Teaching. The publisher is preaching, but he's not teaching. The information was factual, but was the Bible student's heart burning? Perhaps from spiritual indigestion. Did you see the deer in the headlights look he got? No thought-provoking questions were asked, and no effort was made to engage the student in a discussion and make him think. But why does something like that sometimes happen to us? Usually because we know the information well, and we might be very accustomed to preaching, but to be effective teachers, we must adjust to the student's circumstances and abilities, and that requires forethought and preparation. Now let's watch the same study again and see the results of good teaching.
So based on what we've been learning in chapter 8, can you think of a good reason why it's so important that we know when God's kingdom began to rule?
Well, I think that if you knew when God's kingdom began to rule, then you would know that the blessings of the kingdom are soon to follow.
That's an excellent answer. And of course, the appendix here contains the scriptural proof of when God's kingdom began to rule in 1914. Would you like to read just the first two paragraphs in the appendix there, under the heading on page 215, 1914, a significant year in Bible prophecy?
Sure. Decades in advance, Bible students proclaimed.
Thank you. So notice there that Jesus said that the city of Jerusalem would be trampled on by the nations until the appointed times of the nations are fulfilled. Now for us to understand Jesus' words, we have to know, why was Jerusalem special? What did Jerusalem symbolize? So what did we learn about Jerusalem there in paragraph 2?
Well, Jerusalem is where the Jewish kings ruled, right? So they would have ruled for Jehovah, which meant that Jerusalem was a symbol of Jehovah's rulership.
Very good. Now you have the key to understanding when Jesus began to rule as king.
Wow, this is really interesting. It's like solving a mystery.
Isn't it? Let's read the next paragraph.
Now that was effective teaching. Imitating Jesus, he was simple, brief, clear, and thereby touched the student's heart. But how important is our work of preaching and teaching? Please, if you'd open your Bibles to Matthew 4 and 23, we have outlined for us the importance and the emphasis that Jesus placed on the preaching and teaching work. Matthew 4 and verse 23. Then he went throughout the whole of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and curing every sort of disease and every sort of infirmity among the people. Jesus' life centered on preaching and teaching. As his true followers, we too must keep on preaching and do what he instructed us in Matthew 18, 19 and 20, making disciples of others. But how do we do that? By teaching them. And what a joyful work that is.